Friends, what a great day this is. This is Resurrection Sunday 2020. We rejoice that 2,000 years ago, Jesus came back from the dead, alive. We may not be together today to celebrate the resurrection of Christ, but it does not change the fact Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor Brian just led us in some great music for this holy day. Pastor Josh reminded us of the ageless account of that glorious day 2,000 years ago when Jesus conquered death and the devil and sin and sorrow. But for a few minutes, allow me to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you have your Bibles, great, turn there. If not, put this on pause and go get your Bibles. 1 Corinthians is the Apostle Paul's letter to a very challenging church. And this church had all sorts of issues that he had to address. It's kind of a casebook on pastoral theology. But of all the topics that the apostle covered, he has an extensive section in this book where he just talks about the glories of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and our hope now and in the future because Jesus is alive. 1 Corinthians 15 is the great resurrection chapter, probably a definitive text in the Bible that explains to us in 58 verses the rich doctrine and the saving truth of the power of the resurrection. Let me explain a couple of different things in this passage. Let me start off, first of all, by just reading to you the first few verses of this chapter, which the apostle explains what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. This is what he writes. I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you also stand, by which you also were saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you had believed in vain. For I delivered to you of first importance what I received. In other words, this is the most important thing I want to tell you. Here it is. That Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. Great passage. Then Paul gives his own personal testimony. What's the gospel? There's basically four facts of what the gospel is. First of all, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He died for our sins. He died in our place to forgive us of our sins according to the Scriptures. You go back to the Old Testament and passages like Psalm 22 that begin, my God, why have you forsaken me? And ends with, it is finished, is a great passage, prophesying, predicting the suffering of Christ for our sins. Another great passage is Isaiah chapter 53, the suffering servant passage. And then several times in the New Testament Gospels, Jesus himself talked about his coming death. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 is one of those passages, and there are others. So Christ died, fact number one, according to the Scriptures, for our sins. And the second fact is, he was buried. That's the proof that he died. The third fact is that Christ rose again from the dead according to the Scriptures. Again, that was prophesied. Again, you go back to the Old Testament and Psalm chapter 16, verse 10 talks about the Holy One will not see corruption. Again, Isaiah chapter 53 talks about he will prolong his days. Those predict in the Old Testament that Christ will come alive, the Messiah will come alive. And again, Jesus' own words predicted that. Matthew 16, verse 21, again, when he talked about his death, he followed it with talking about his resurrection. John chapter 2, early on in his ministry, he said, destroy this temple, and 3 days later, I will raise it up. All those are predictions in the Scriptures that he will rise again from the dead. That's the third fact. And the fourth fact is that he was seen. Proof that he rose again from the dead. That he was seen. That's the gospel message. And when you look at the gospel message and look in our own life, has there been a point in our life when we believe that gospel message, that those sins Christ took for us? Has there been a point in your life when you accepted Christ as your Savior? When we read the resurrection story and reminded of the meaning of the resurrection, we need to make sure that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So that's the first thing I wanted to communicate in the chapter. And then the rest of the chapter, he talks about the what ifs. What if Christ had not been raised? What if he had been? Another great passage is verses 20 and 21. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam we all die, so also in Christ we're all made alive. Praise God, he rose again from the dead. He can make us alive. That's in the chapter. Also in the chapter, he talks about what our physical bodies are going to be changed into, to a spiritual body. The resurrection is going to make us brand new. A couple of those verses are, so also in the resurrection of the dead, it is sown a perishable body, it is raised an imperishable body. He also says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. What a profound statements those are. For us, that means that when this life is over with, when Christ comes back again, we're going to have a brand new body. That's going to be a big improvement on the current one. For me, for example, that means I'm going to have perfect vision. I hope it also means I have more hair and a lot less around here too. We're going to have a perfect body someday because of the resurrection of Christ. But then the section of this chapter I want you to see as well is the grand finale of this great theological discussion about the resurrection. The grand finale, the last verses of verse 54 to 58 goes like this. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Look what his resurrection has accomplished for us. Death loses. Death is lost. Death no longer has its sting. Death is just a corridor to our next new life. Sin has lost. It's been defeated. We do not have to be slaves of sin any longer. Sin no longer has power over us because of the resurrection. Christ conquered sin and death through his death and resurrection. We have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all because of Jesus. Oh, victory in Jesus. My Savior forever, we sing. We sing another hymn. It says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left its crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And then on this day we sing with gladness, Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. There is victory in Jesus. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a day of victory. 52 times a year we celebrate the resurrection of Christ because we worship on Sunday, the day he came back to life. We want to continually remind us that Christ is a victorious Savior for now and for eternity. We have abundant and we have eternal life. We have victory in Jesus. Thanks be to God. And then the last verse. What's that mean to us in the meantime? How do we live our life? What a powerful verse this is. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. What a difference the resurrection makes in our life right now. First of all, Christ's resurrection encircles us in love. We are beloved brethren. The resurrection of Christ kindles Christian love. Blessed be the tie that binds us in Christian love. We can love one another, we can serve one another, we can share together in a love relationship with each other because the resurrection's power is in us. The second thing in that passage is Christ's resurrection empowers us to serve the Lord. We can be steadfast and immovable. That means because of the resurrection, we can be solid in our Christian faith. We can be wholly committed to love and to serve Him without wavering. We can be steadfast and immovable. And we can always be abounding in the work of the Lord. We can pour ourselves in our love in our service for the Lord with gladness and joy. We can practice every Christian virtue. We can utilize our spiritual gifts. We can display the fruit of the Spirit. We can keep Christ's commands, and we can be instruments of His glory. Christ's resurrection empowers us to serve the Lord. And then the last phrase, Christ's resurrection ensures our service is eternally valuable, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. There is reward for us in glory. The resurrection guarantees it. Reward will be greater than the cost. Romans chapter 8, verse 18, the Apostle Paul also says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us." Eternal glory is our motivation for worship and service. Christ has secured it for us. In John chapter 14, verse 19, he says, "Because I live, you will live also." We can live with the glorious expectation of our own blessed resurrection. Well, this is Resurrection Sunday 2020. Sure, a lot different than what we originally planned. We planned for full churches, and because of the COVID-19, we're unable to gather together. But the fact remains, Christ the Lord is risen today. We have the historic facts of the Gospels and the Scriptures. We have 2,000 years of evidence of changed lives. And as one of our hymns says, "You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart." Well, before today, for me, there has only been one Easter Sunday in my entire life that I did not attend an Easter church service. It was back in Easter of April 2001, 19 years ago. I did not attend a church service because I was recovering in the hospital from open heart surgery. I had 5 bypasses in April of 2001. I had a complete engine overhaul at that time. And I spent Easter Sunday not in the pulpit, not in church, but in a hospital recovering from surgery. And let me tell you, what an experience that was. I can tell you even to this day, almost every minute that took place during those days that I remember. But you know, I got through that whole experience by the love of my family, my church family, and friends who all prayed for me. Boy, I'm sure grateful for that. And also I got through that because the medical community was skilled in taking care of my needs. They knew how to fix hearts. You know, God has gifted the medical community to be His healing hand so many different times. And I am grateful for that. So I missed church that one Sunday, and God took care of me, and we still celebrate the resurrection. But God gave me a verse of Scripture that day. Psalm chapter 9, verse 1. It says this, "I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders." Well, I've spent a lot of time rejoicing and telling others with all my heart how God took care of me, how God saved my soul, how God has taken care of my family and the churches I serve. We can rejoice and we can thank God with all of our heart because what Christ has done for us in His resurrection power, we can tell others. So here it is. This is my second Sunday in my life that I cannot attend a church worship service with a body of believers. How many times has that happened for you? How many times have you missed Easter Sunday? I hope not very many at all. I hope that this day is a highlight for you. None of us can be together like we want to be. And you know, it's happening around the world. We're all in the same situation. But the bottom line is, because Jesus is alive, and because He said, "Because I live, you will live also," we can still celebrate with great joy wherever we are. And we're going to get through this. God is still on the throne. Through the love and the prayers of our families and our church families and our friends, we can get through this. And the skilled medical community as well, it's on the front lines of this disease. God has gifted them with abilities to help us through this. We can get through this. And on this day, we can broadcast, we can shout out, we can boldly declare that Jesus Christ is alive. And the gospel of Jesus Christ can change anyone for time and eternity. Has he changed you? Has there been a point in your life where you made a decision to accept Christ as your Savior? I guess if I could put a title for this message, it would be this: Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. How about you? Can you face tomorrow? Is Jesus Christ alive and living in you? Do you love and serve the risen Savior? The ABCs of salvation, I've given these before. ABCs of salvation: A, admit that you are a sinner. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And C, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Tell others. Simple. And pray a simple prayer of confession and gratitude that Jesus went to the cross to pay for your sins. And Jesus came back to life to give you life abundant. I hope that there is a point in your life when you made that decision. If not, I pray that today, Easter Sunday, 2020, in the privacy of your own home, because that's where you need to be, you can get on your knees and you can ask Christ to be your Savior, to be your resurrected Lord as well. And the verses I want to encourage you today, 1 Corinthians 15, those last two verses, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you so much that you gave us Jesus, our perfect Savior. He lived a perfect life, and he went to the cross and bore our sins. He was the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And you raised him from the dead the third day, accepting his sacrifice on our behalf. Thank you that you are a live God. We serve a risen Savior. Thank you for the blessings that the cross is empty and the grave is empty. And thank you that this Easter Sunday 2020, totally unique in our lives, and while we can't be together with our church family or even gather in groups, may we still experience your love and your resurrection power, and help us to get through this period of time in our lives. May we be even more faithful to love you and serve you in gratitude for your ever-loving care for us. You are a Savior who has come back from the grave, conquered sin and death and the devil, and we have life abundant and life eternal. We give you the praise and the glory on this Easter Sunday. We pray these things in the name of Jesus our Savior. Amen and amen. Okay.